Amen. If you have your Bibles for a few moments today, Proverbs chapter 3. Living in the favor of God. The title of the message, Living in the Favor of God, Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, God promises wonderful favor to the blameless. As we read there, for length of days, life and peace, but in the first part, forget not my law, we read so much. I mean, I think we all want to live for God, but sometimes we all don't want to do the right thing. We all want to sort of kind of ride the fence a little bit. But I found throughout the scriptures that God's wanting his children to totally commit and sell out. And a lot of people jump back at that word commitment, but he promises wonderful things, favors, grace to the blameless believers. He's keep my commands. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. God is saying, set your sights on me. You know, I believe that we can be blameless. The Bible speaks about us being blameless and living right in this perverse generation that we live in. We do not have to cave in to the pressures around us. I think peer pressure is something that's overrated, especially you get my age. If you don't like me, okay. You know, I know young kids think about they've always got to have, you know, the peer pressure. But Daniel, if people don't like you, so be it. They don't like you. You just don't have to worry about it. So we don't cave into that stuff. You don't allow yourself to cave into that stuff. You don't have to cave into that stuff. And so God's saying if you set your sights to walk blameless before him, you'll walk in his favor and you'll do that by pleasing him. But God's favor includes a lot of things. Power. What did Paul say about the gospel? It didn't come to you in word only, but also in what? Power. And in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As he writes this in Thessalonians, let's read it. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and as much assurance as you know that what manner of men we were among you. His favor brings the power. His favor will allow you to walk in that power. Your words will not fall to the ground because they will have something behind it. What did he write in the next verse of Thessalonians? And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Paul said those that's walking there are empowered there will produce. We need to be people producing, okay? I mean, we need to be people making a difference. I tell myself every day, God, let me make a difference. Let me make a difference. Let me get under the devil's skin a little bit in my daily life and what I do. Are you followers of us, followers of the Lord? Have you received the word? Have you with joy in the Holy Ghost? Why were Paul's words so powerful? Why were they so effective? Because he says that if there was one man that you read in the Bible that literally sold out was the Apostle Paul. I mean, he gave up everything that he had, everything that he knew, everything that he was. Read what he was doing on the road to Damascus when the Lord had the encounter with God. What was he doing? The power he had. He wasn't just a dumb man, highly skilled, highly educated, but something took place in his life. And so Paul became the example to us all. In Thessalonians, the next scripture, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So Paul was not preaching, amen. And it was a combination of his preaching, it was a combination of his praying, and it was a combination of his exemplary life that won people to God. I mean, you'll find a lot of people that can witness to you, but then you watch him the next few seconds and you're thinking, there's something wrong there. There's something not right there. We hear it all the time. I would come to church, but there are a lot of hypocrites in the church. Well, you just tell that person, come on, one more's not going to matter. So we understand that it is important for us to live and walk, amen, as best we can, an exemplary life. See, Paul, God found something in Paul. It was a clean heart. I mean, the man literally sold out. I mean, he lost everything. He lost his circle of friends. Think about it. I mean, he ran with those who was persecuting the church. He ran with the religious right, the religious, people of that day, the scribes and Pharisees of that day. He had papers from the high priest to go out and persecute those believers. And on the way to Damascus, something took place in his life, and without a doubt in his mind, he gave it all up. I mean, he even went, and Ananias even questioned God and said, do you know who this guy is? Do you know what this guy's done? And so Paul, God found something, amen, in Paul, and it was a clean heart, amen, and Paul walked in favor with God. And by walking in favor with God, he walked in the power, amen, of God's presence. Amen. God's divine favor brings a lot of things. It brings high esteem. Amen. The Bible says in Samuel 18:30. Amen. 1 Samuel, it says, then the prince of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth, David what? Behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Amen. David had a name that was esteemed. Amen. The man who protects the name of Jesus by living holy before others, amen, will be giving a high name before God. Amen. Some people say, well, I don't care about my name. Well, you better. Amen. I don't care how I live. Well, you better. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen, amen, than great riches and losing favor, rather than silver and gold. Amen. We need to live righteous. Amen. We need to make sure that we are without blame. We are without spot. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to live right before God today. I don't want to live as an easy come, easy go. I don't want to go out into the world and think, well, amen, I can do this and I can do that. Amen. But I want God's people to make their mind up. Amen. I've sold out. Amen. I'm going to live under the favor of God. I'm going to walk under the favor of God. Amen. I'm going to walk in righteousness. Amen. And I'm not going to bring any reproach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's easy just to say, well, I guess I slipped up. Well, quit slipping up. All right? That's not an excuse anymore. Quit slipping up. Well, I just know you don't. There's something that you're not doing. Hey, are you praying enough? Huh? Are you giving God enough time? Amen. Are you letting the things get in your mind and distract you? Amen. From walking in the favor of God. I'm telling you what. That sign up there that James put up there said a better life, and it got an arrow pointing. You want to have a better life? You walk in the favor of God, and you'll find out how much better your life will be. You'll find out much greater it will be. How much more the joy you'll have and the peace you have. And I said all the time, amen, having peace, it isn't overrated. There's a lot of people that are tormented, amen, in this life, and they have no peace. Amen, our people. Amen, are taking this pill and that pill. Amen, our sane asylums are full. Amen, people are laying on couches talking to psychiatrists all over this world. Amen, they're lacking something, and it's peace. I'm going to tell you, you what, you're going to find peace, amen, at the foot of cross. At the foot of the cross, you're not going to find it in a pill. You're not going to find it in a bottle. Amen. But when you walk in the favor of God, you're going to find out that my life is going to be a better life. It's going to be a life that's going to be productive. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be productive in the kingdom of God today. There's a few points I want to bring out about walking in the favor of God and what God will literally do for you. The first thing today is a supernatural increase and promotion. The Bible talks about Joseph. And we know the story about Joseph as he was sold into slavery. And I'm thinking, you know, when you look, I'm sure when you go back and you read the story, you're thinking, wow, this is messed up. His brethren thrown and grab him, and they were jealous of him. And when these travelers came by, they sold him into slavery. But you know what I was thinking this morning, and I was thinking on that. Him and Sister Loretta, those brothers was selling their brother to make sure their life was going to be extended. And they had no clue what they were doing. They had no clue by selling and Joseph into slavery. Amen. Their life was going to be extended, and their life was going to be blessed because there was a famine coming, and they had no idea. But I'm going to tell you what. Amen. God made a promise to a man called Abraham, and he told Abraham that your seed will be as the sand on the seashore, and your seed will be as the stars in the heaven. And I don't care if famine's coming, God's going to honor His word. I don't care what the devil does. Amen. God's going to honor His word. And as they sold Joseph into slavery, I'm sure he had no idea. Amen. What's going on? Amen. Man, he's doing good. Amen. He's in the Potiphar's house and he's doing great. Amen. The wife makes an advance on him. He refutes the advance. She lies on him and he's thrown in jail. I'm telling you what, God's got a plan. Amen, God. Amen is going to supernaturally increase you and give you a promotion. The Bible said Joseph's master looked on him while he was in prison. Amen. And Noah all of a sudden elevated him. Amen. To the head of the prison. Amen. That all the prisoners had to amen, answer to him. Amen. So that's not all. Amen. He went to the bottom, but he's climbing back to the top. Amen. Why? God's going to promote him. I said God's going to promote him. Amen. Why? God made a promise. Amen. To Abraham. And Isaac was walking in the favor of God. I'm telling you what. When you begin to walk in the favor of God, everything around you, your family, your job, everything around you, amen, God's going to honor. Why? You're walking and living in the favor of God today. In prison, something so easy as interpreting a couple of dreams. He interprets two dreams of the butler and the baker, and one comes to pass, and they come to pass. And one of the guys gets into Pharaoh's court, and Pharaoh is having these dreams. He can't come up with what it is, and one of the, I forget which one it was, the butler in the back, I can't remember which one it was, but he said, wait a minute, I was in prison. I'm telling you what, God won't forget about you. In the prison, he's toiling away in the prison, not of anything doing on his own. You know, sometimes we'll get into situations and you're thinking, God, I've lived right, I've done right. Amen, what's going on? But I'm telling you what, if you're walking in a favor, God's getting ready to promote you. Amen, I'm talking about supernaturally. Amen, to promote you. Amen, here he is in the prison. And they said, there's a man down there that can interpret dreams. Pharaoh brings him up and Joseph interprets the dream of what's going to come. And sure enough, amen, the famine came. And you know what happened? Amen, when the sons of Isaac went down to get food, Sister Loretta, who was passing the food out, amen, God put one of his own in charge. in the favor of God. You're going to be the head, not the tail. Amen. Your supernatural promotion and your supernatural increase is going to come if you're walking in the favor of God today. Can you, and you know the story about how it all took place. That's how Israel ended up in Egypt. But it amazes me that when that boy was sold into slavery, God was already working on the end, making sure that his promise, amen, was going to be fulfilled. Amen, a supernatural increase and a promotion. It can't help but happen. I'm telling you what, God remembered Joseph. I'm telling you people, the devil will tell you God's going to forget you. You need to say, wait a minute. I'm walking in his favor today. God's not going to leave me by the side of the road in a ditch. Amen. Bleeding and bruised. He's not going to do that. He's going to elevate me. And I'm telling you what. Just walk in the favor of God today. Number two. This is the one the enemy tries to hit people with so hard. But restoration of everything that has been taken from you. I'm not so much talking about finances. If you needed it, it will be there. But it's the spiritual aspect that the enemy tries to sap people out of and steal from people. Amen. Getting people to think that they don't have anything in God. Amen. I've got, you know, we go to the bank and we make deposits. Amen. And when I go to that bank, I can get that out. I've made some deposits today in the bank of heaven. And when I get on my knees and begin to pray, there's something up there for me. Amen. I'm depositing my life. I'm depositing my future. Amen. In a man called Jesus Christ. And when the enemy tries to steal that from me, and he has made us go through things, and we're weak sometimes, and we're beaten down sometimes, and we feel useless sometimes. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God's going to restore everything the enemy stole from you. It might be a family, amen, thing, a family relationship. It might be a promotion at work. It might be this, that, or the other, but I'm going to tell you this, amen, God's going to restore it. He's going to restore it, and everything the devil stole from me, amen, God's giving it back. I want to tell you, the Bible says that the Israel was getting ready to leave. He said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will come to pass that when you go, you shall not go out empty. Oh, I'm telling you what. Brian Howe did a bunch of slaves into slavery for 400 years have gold to build a golden calf. They were in bondage 400 years. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have nothing. But the Bible goes on to say, amen there. Amen. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in the house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. You know what Israel was getting? They was getting back wages. They was getting back wages for all the time they was in bondage. And when they came out of Egypt, they not only came out free, they came out rich. They came out rich. Amen. Why? God made sure that everything the devil stole from them, he restored it 100-fold. It was back wages. Bondage 400 years. They had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah, they messed up and used all that gold to make the golden calf. But where'd they get the gold at? It was back wages. That's what they were owed, and they took it. How'd they take it? I believe, as we will use the modern day vernacular, God used that Jedi mind trick. He just walked up and they was handing stuff out like trick-or-treaters. Brian, I believe the Egyptians had no clue what they were doing. They was just handing out right and left. Something told them to do it, compelled them to do it. I'm telling you this. Whatever the enemy's tried to steal from you or has stolen from you. I told somebody last week standing right there, why don't you just sell out? How hard is it to sell out? Why are you holding back? What in your mind? If I walked up to you and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, brother, but you got to follow me for 1 week. Every time I stopped, you should have been running up my backside. Every time I turn around, you ought to be right there. Why? You want that $1 million. I mean, come on. If God's going to give you everything that you can desire, He said your desires, if there's things the enemy's taken from you and you want it back, and you want it back more than anything in this world, it could be, hey man, I was up here spiritually, I'm down here, I got to get back. It could be anything. Hey man, if that's the case, then why aren't you selling out? Why? What compels you to hold back? I don't understand it. Nobody can figure that out but you. But bondage 400 years, they come busting out with gold, silver, raiment, clothing. The Egyptians just passing out like candy. Why? Because God is going to take care of His people. What about Job? The Bible says in Job, we know the story of Job in 33:26 of Job, he shall pray unto God and He will be favorable unto him, and he shall see His face with joy, for He will render unto man His righteousness. Job 42:10-13, we know what happened to Job. We know what Job went through. We know the heartache of Job. We know Job lost everything that he had. Amen. All his cattle, all his sons, his daughters, his house, his wife. He lost everything. As his wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you talk like a foolish woman. I'm telling you what, this man walked in the favor of God. When you can utter out of your mouth, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Doug, that's walking in the favor of God. That's saying, God, no matter what I gotta go through, no matter what I gotta face, yeah, I know there's going to be things that I'm not gonna like or not understand. And I'm gonna tell you what, Job, when you read the book, Sister Loretta, he wanted one, but he never got an answer for why he went through the things he went through. And sometimes, let me tell you this, you just don't need an answer. All you need to do is trust him who sits on the throne and follow him. Yeah, you're going to go through things. You're going to face things you don't like, but I want you to be able to utter out of your mouth, amen, though all hell comes against me, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to sell out, but I'm going to trust him who sits on the throne. That's walking in the favor of God. We see what happened. Lost it all. Everybody's coming to him and giving him all these, you've sinned. His good buddies come, you must have sinned somewhere. I just love my good buddies when they come and say, man, Eric, the reason you're going through this, buddy, there's sin in your life somewhere. Pastor, the reason you're going to just sin somewhere. Maybe it's just that God's testing him. They never did come up with that one. But the Bible says in Job 42, and the Lord returned the captivity of Job, which he prayed for his friends. Job prayed for those. I'm telling you what, maybe there was a release in Job when he began to pray for those people that actually didn't treat him too nice through all of this. And the Bible says, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him his brethren and all his sisters. They had been of his acquaintance before. He did eat bread with them in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him. All the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, and every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So Job blessed the gods. The Bible says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job prayed for his friends. How do you double perfection? Before catastrophe struck, Job had wealth, health, family, perfect in everything, perfect in quality. Now in the restoration, the Lord did what? Blessed him with double his wealth, double his sons, double his years, double his generation. Job is a modern day example of a statesman whose grace and wisdom are indispensable, amen, to society. This ends the journey of Job. But you know what? Job got doubled everything except God didn't double his daughters for some reason. But the Bible said they were the fairest in the land, the most beautiful in the land. I'm telling you what, you want things that you got, you want things back. You're not going to get them by grumbling. You're not going to get them by complaining. You're not going to get them by that kind of stuff. But you're going to get them by trusting God and just being patient. You've heard of the patience of Job. We read the book. We've seen what he went through. We find nowhere. He prayed to die. Any guy would pray to die. You know, Lord, take me now. I'm done. But you know why it all started? Because the devil came to God and said, the reason Job loves you and the reason Job has what he does what he does is because you've given Job everything. But God knew Job's heart. God knew that Job had the favor of God on him. And so God pulled back the curtain and told the devil, you can do anything but take his life. And the devil did just that. But when it was all over, amen, Job never, ever, ever cursed God. Restoration. There's things in my life that the devil's tried to take from me, has taken from me. And you're thinking, man, if I'm going to get him back, there's only one way I'm going to get him back, and that's on my knees, faithful to God. Number 3, honor. Even in the midst of adversaries. 11:3 of Exodus, the Bible says, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials. Because of God's favor, your enemies will hold you in high esteem and you won't even know it. They will do for you and they won't even know why they're doing for you. They will be nice to you and they won't even know why they're being nice to you. I'm talking about your enemies. I'm talking about those people that would like to stab you in the back. Instead, they're patting you on the back saying, good job. Amen. They're giving to you and you don't even know why. They don't even know why they're doing it. But you know what the crazy thing is you know why they're doing it, because you're walking in the favor of God. They don't have no choice. Amen. You're walking in God's favor. Amen. So even in the midst of your adversaries, amen, you'll be honored. Amen. I've had people not like me. Amen. But look at me and say nice things to me. And I know in their mind they're thinking, I can't help but I don't know why I'm doing it. I want to rip him up one side and the other. Amen. But you know why they're doing it? Because God's favor's on me. Why? I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you what, walking under the blood makes all the difference, people. Walking all the blood under the blood, amen, makes everything all right, makes everything perfect, makes everything just, makes everything right when you're living and walking under the blood of the Lamb. Number 4, I'm hurrying, provision and overflowing harvest. Proverbs 3:10 show, shall thy barns be filled with harvest plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Prosperity, gratitude, charity are the things that we'll have by walking in the favor of God. What does the Bible say in Psalms? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as I dwell in the house of the Lord. Overflowing. God just doesn't give you enough. He gives you more than enough. How did the kid come up with 12 baskets when he only had a few fishes? How do you think his mom, when he came back, where have you been? Where did this come from? How did this happen? Have you ever had, hey man, I've said all that, your little becomes much, Eric, when you let God get involved. Huh? I'm telling you what. Have you ever stepped back and said, how did this happen? Hey man, this wasn't supposed to go. How did I get this? Where did this come from? How did this happen? Hey man, it's because God's going to give you a harvest. Hey man, that's overflowing. I want to tell you what God does. God just doesn't give you barely enough. He gives you more than enough. Okay? It's always overflowing. It's always left. There's leftovers. There's always plenty to go around. So God will give you a provision and an overflowing harvest. Amen. Number five, protection from the Lord. Amen. Protection. We get, he's my protector. He's my bodyguard. Amen. I believe I got a couple of angels walking with me, Ralph. Amen. Both of them are named Bubba, and the devil better watch out. Amen. I've got a couple of bodyguards. Amen. Walking everywhere I go, and the devil better watch out. The Bible says we entertain them unaware. Amen. The great heaven. Amen. The greatness of heaven. Amen. Is right here on this earth. Amen. David said, amen. And this is the scripture I call, amen, the 911 scripture. Amen. When you're in trouble, what do? You get the phone, you go 911. Well, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. I said, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't care what hell does. I don't care how hard it blows. I'll tell you what, I've got a provision, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm dwelling in a secret place, and the devil cannot touch me. That's the 911 chapter that we live in, that we walk in. We shouldn't ever, ever, ever panic. God's people should never push the panic button. God's presence leads us, protects us under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a metaphor for, I tell you, there's of a chicken gathering her brood. I heard this story growing up all my life, and I've probably told it 100 times here. Sorry, Susan, it's a rerun. Susan tells me every week I need to get some new stories. But I'm telling her, if my old ones are so good, why should I get any new ones? Farmer, his barn burnt down. He lost about everything he had in the barn. He come walking out there really upset, lost some of his animals. There's this big clump of, you know what it was, disgusted. Eric, he walked up and he kicked it. And out from under that clump ran about 5 baby chickens. It was a mother hen that had put them chicks underneath her and gave her life for them chicks. And as he was saying there, the farmer said that scripture came back to him. I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When the devil comes in, God puts those wings, amen, around me. And the devil can't touch this. He can't come against this. I'm telling you what, there's times that I don't know what to do. There's times, amen, that I don't know what to do. But old David has the answer in 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from my enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. As David calls out to God to listen to him, as he's far from Jerusalem and far from the tabernacle where God dwells, he makes his call from the end of the earth with a heart overwhelmed. Amen, or fainting. Amen. This may indicate that he's gripped by some problem. However, he's still crying, oh God, amen, have mercy on me. He requests, amen, to that the rock, amen, will come. He requests that rock. Why? Amen, it's higher than him. And that rock literally means a fortress or a defensive position. God himself is called a rock 33 times in scriptures. In Isaiah, he is the rock of my stronghold. In Psalms 31:3, he's addressed as my rock and my fortress. In Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 32:15. He's called the rock of Jeshurun, or the rock of my salvation. I've got somewhere where I can run. There's a rock, a fortress that is higher than anything that hell has. God is a rock. God is my protection. Oh, I've cried out. I've cried out. Oh, God, hear my prayer. Hear my cry. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I today. His rock, more secure, more higher than anything that the enemy can do. You know, I was growing up. Matter of fact, it's just been a while ago. I was listening to one of my dad's sermons on tape. And he was talking about a guy that was a pretty good woodsman. And he said this guy got out into the woods and a fog set in. And he thought, I know how to get out of here. I know how to do it. And he's out there in these woods in the wilderness for hours. And he couldn't find a way out. And finally he figured that he was walking in circles. All of a sudden the fog broke a little bit. And he looked up. And there was a ranger's tower. Just a little bit down the ways. And God says, I am that rock that is higher than you. Huh? Lift up your eyes. That's where your redemption comes from. David said, I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence my help cometh from. My help cometh from the Lord who makes heaven and earth. I'm telling you what, church, the first thing we need to do is when the devil comes a-howling, we need to begin to look into the heavens. We need to begin to look for that rock. We need to run to that rock. Amen. How many's been overwhelmed? I have. Amen. I've been overwhelmed to the point. Amen. I'm thinking, I don't know what I was going to do, but that voice within their little wheel began to turn within me. Amen. Saying, cry out to me. Cry out to me. And all of a sudden I cry out, oh God, hear my prayer. And Brian, the fog lifts and I see that tower. Amen. I see the nail scarred hand. I see him reaching down, pulling me out. I've got protection today. Amen. From Jesus Christ. I'm more secure by walking in God's favor. I'm protected wherever I go. Number six, prominence and preferential treatment. Devil doesn't like us to be treated well. And I said, the Bible says the wealth of the righteous is weighed up for the wicked. And I believe that. And I believe we're going to be blessed. She said, I think in Sunday school, the head, not the tail. I believe in that stuff. Bible says, and here we go again with God, knowing what's going on in Esther. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Now you know the story of what happened in Esther. The king's eye saw Esther. She was more fair than any other of the ladies, and the king made her his wife. She was the queen now. Preferential treatment. He was attracted to her. Set a royal crown on her head. God gave her prominence not to parade around town in her, is queenly a word? Queenly dress? I don't know. Her, is that a word, queenly? Is that a word? You're a lawyer. Is that a word? You don't know that? I'm disappointed in you today. He gave her prominence not to walk around town with a crown on and say, look what I'm here. There's a situation arose. Haman was trying to destroy the Jews. She's a Jew. She had a decision to make. God put her in that position for one reason only. She had the king's ear. He elevated her. God doesn't elevate you so you can just, I'm the vice president of Schaefer. He elevates you so you can say, I'm going to give my brother a raise. Esther took care of the Jews. You need to be taking care of me. I don't see no difference at all. She wasn't allowed to go in there just at any time, but she did anyway, whether it was a threat to her life or not. God put her in that position to do something about the injustice that Haman was trying to do to the Jews. God elevated me. The next question you need to be asking yourself is, why? Why did he elevate me? Why is he giving me this? Why am I there? Why am I being able to have this position or this or whatever it may be? Why? We just say, look at me now. Look what I got. Hey, I'm here. I've arrived. No, you're there for a reason. So as Esther, out of all the women in the land, became queen, for one purpose. God knew that Haman was going to try to destroy the Jews, and she walked into the king knowing that it could cost her life, but she didn't care. And you know the story. Haman was the one swinging from the gallows. You're going to get preferential treatment, people, but you're going to have to ask yourself why. Okay? Hired as a temp. Full-time job. Not because you're Eric, not because she's Bev, but because you're favored of God. Okay? Now he's got a job. I know they're trying to kill you where you work, but hey, at least, hey, it's good stuff. You might be thinking, God, back up on the favor just a little bit. 40 hours is good. 55's too much. But you see what I'm trying to say. You're elevated for a reason that you're at Norgren. There's a reason there. You're elevated and given these preferential treatments. Why? For a reason. Not to strut your stuff. Amen. But to strut your glory. Amen. To strut your praise. Amen. To give him honor and glory. We got to realize when God begins to elevate us, we need to be finding out why is he doing this and what should I be doing because of this. Not saying, look who I am. Esther had to go to the king even though she knew it could cost her her life. Number seven, I'm going as quick as I can here. When we walk in the favor of God, the one thing that I love is he'll answer my prayers. I hear people all the time, I'll pray for you. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, probably not. You're probably not going to pray for me, and I don't really need you praying for me anyway. I want people praying for me, Bev, that knows how to get a hold of heaven. Okay? I think that has become a cliche word, I'll pray for you. And they absolutely mean nothing about it. If you say you pray for me, you better be praying for me. Okay? Prayers are answered and heard. James says, is there any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what if, verse 15, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So, do we pray? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wow. Can you imagine that? Are you righteous? It goes on to say that Elias was a man subject like passions as we are. What happened? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the span of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. It was just like turning the faucet on and off. And the earth brought forth for fruit. Prayer is the key word in this entire message. Over and over again, James encourages us to pray. Well, when do I pray? Well, you pray when you're in trouble. Pray when we're sick. We pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. I tell you one time, now this is how my dad was. I'm not saying I agreed or disagree with him, but he brought a brand new Ford. It was as red as a fire engine. The guy said, take it home for the weekend and see how you like it. He got to praying about it and came out and said, I don't know if I can drive a red car or not. Which I thought was kind of silly, but you know. So he took it back and bought a brown one. Oh, I don't know. Maybe the red one would have broke down 3 weeks later. Who knows? He prayed about it. We was going on vacation one time. I told this story too. This is a good one. You'll like this one too. We was going, we had some people go to, you remember Brother and Sister Stacy? Went to our church down here. Great friends. They moved out west. We're going out west. Vacation. We didn't take very many vacations. We was going out west. Man, I was 12, maybe 13. He began to pray about it. Began to pray about it. 3 weeks before we went, he stood up and told everybody, we ain't going. We just about threw him off the island. I was packing his bag, setting him on the curb. I mean, we was going out west. You're messing up my vacation. We didn't go. The week we were out there, Brother and Sister Stacy was in a serious, serious car accident, and they about died. They ended up in the hospital for months. We would have probably been with them. Now, I'm telling you what, you better pray about things. You better pray about your car. You better pray about things you do, places you go, people you hang with. You better pray about everything. And then don't get mad when God answers your prayer and you don't like what he says. Yeah. I love people like, I prayed about it. Well, he said no. I did it anyway. Wow. You need to listen to the voice of God. It will cause you a lot less heartache. I'm telling you. We pray. When you get an answer, whatever the answer is, you do it. See, he prayed again, the heavens shut up. But then he prayed again, the Bible said it brought forth her first. God will hear you, he will answer you, but my question is, do you hear him? So I'm thankful that he answers my prayer on what any level that it is. If it's no, fine with me. If it's yes, fine with me. I need an answer. That's the reason I'm praying. I need an answer. I need God to give me direction. And when he does, don't balk at it. Don't fuss at it. Just follow it. It will save you a lot less heartache in your life. I'm telling you what, I can open this assembly up right now. People could stand up and say, hey, if I would have listened to the voice of God, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have had to go through this. I wouldn't have had to face this. I wouldn't be in this situation. There's a lot of things we don't listen to God. Amen. That will haunt us the rest of our lives. I'm telling you what, when you pray and you get an answer, amen, you stop and you follow the answer that God gives you. Prayers are, I'm telling you what, prayers are heard and prayers are answered. So when do I pray? I pray when I'm in trouble. I pray when I'm sick. I pray for one another. I pray just about for everything. I told you I prayed for my refrigerator one time. She prayed for her dog. Her little dog got a Jack Russell. Man, them things are like hyper, or they're like a kid on Monster. She had people over. Put the dog up. Dog bounced around in the bedroom. Fell on its leg. Hurt its leg. Well, I'll tell you what. Emergency vets on Thanksgiving night, they ain't cheap. So she prayed and God touched her dog. Now I'm telling you what. Well, you go if you want to. The Bible says God, the desires of your heart. Huh? I'm telling you. Whatever you love, God loves. Whatever you want to see done, God wants to see done. So when you pray and you see those things and God answers those things, it's a reminder to you that he's mindful of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he's mindful of me, because I don't know how I would make it if he wasn't. I don't know how I could get up in the morning and function if he wasn't mindful of me. If he didn't help me throughout the day, if he didn't keep me to help me keep my mouth shut throughout the day. I mean, I need God helping me. And by praying, that's how I get my help. What does the Bible say in time of need? What are we supposed to do? Come boldly to the throne of grace. So Elijah is a vivid example of a man's prayer being answered. Number 8, the purpose of God's will be accomplished in you. Isaiah 49:8, this is what the Lord says, in the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of my salvation, I will help you, I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to reassign the desolate inheritance. There is no doubt that God wants to do a work in you. He is, as I go through Scripture and I read Scripture, the one thing that jumps out at me is He's a covenant God. Covenant is just a relationship. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to walk in covenant with us. Do you remember when they fell in the garden, the first thing God did, where are you? Adam, where art thou? Where are you at, man? That was His highlight of the day. Where are you at, Adam? First thing He did with Abraham, He made a covenant with him. God is a covenant God. He wants us to be in covenant with Him. He wants to accomplish something in you. He wants to do something in you. Okay, that's why He restores you. That's why He elevates you. That's why He gives you special treatment. Amen. That's why the world hates us, but they sometimes can't help but do good things for us. Amen. He does all that because He's trying to show you who He is and that you will do what He wants. He wants to do a work in everybody's life. I don't know about you, but I want to get out of the way so God can get His finger in my business and God can begin to do a work in my life. He is a covenant God. Amen. His confidence is complete. He will restore us. Amen. By redeeming us. How does He redeem us? Amen. Through the blood of the Messiah. The Messiah will do a work. And not only that, He will do a work personally. And that's what I love about God. Oh, people like to talk. They like to talk about the apocalypse. They like to talk about all that thing, but it makes them nervous when they talk about the now of God. They get a little bit nervous when they talk about the I am of God. They get a little bit nervous when they talk about Him. Amen. Coming down to earth and wanting a personal relationship with man. I don't know about you, but I want that walk. I want Him to do a work in me. I want that personal relationship. Amen. With Him every day of my life. Doesn't make me nervous. It makes me comfortable. The work will be a work of redemption. David writes, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Number 9. And I think this is the last one. Battles are won in which you won't even have to fight because God will fight them for you. I believe within me there are wars going on in the upper world over you that you will never, ever see. Victories are won for you that you will never, never see. Enemy, an onslaught of hell is coming against you. And in the upper world, there's a battle going on for your life, for my life. And I don't even believe we ever, ever see all the things that God really does for us. The Bible teaches that the battle's God's. David writes, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. David writes some of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Then said David to the Philistine in Samuel 17, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand. I will smite thee and take thy beard, thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you unto our hands. Quit fighting. What am I supposed to do? Stand. Okay? Let God do the fighting, you just do the standing. By faith, I believe He'll take care of it. He will fight for me. He will go before me. You know, Daniel could have done one thing. He could have stopped praying. He could have stopped. 3 Hebrew boys, they could have bowed. But you know what they said? They said, let it be known, King, whether you throw us in that fiery furnace or not, we're not bowing. Daniel didn't stop praying. Something happened in that lion's den. God went before him. I don't know. Maybe God had the keepers of the lions feed them extra steaks that night. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe they got indigestion. I don't know. All I do know is Daniel cuddled up right next to him and went right to sleep. And you know what? The king, if you read that scripture, the king come running down there, and I believe the king believed Daniel was alive because he yelled out his name. Oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you? I don't know if that's as much as a question as just a statement. And Daniel said, "Yeah, king, I'm okay. God will go before you. He'll clean a path for you. The Bible talks about the crooked way made straight, the mountains being wiped out of your way. God will fight for you, but all you got to do is stand." You know, God doesn't need your opinion. Oh, I know. I know the females can't help it, but God doesn't need your opinion. He doesn't need my opinion. Matt, how much, you know, I know, buddy. I know you got it rough. I know. But doesn't need your opinion. Bill, how much time, how often does Lois give you her? Kim is giving me her opinion all the time. Most of the time, I don't need it. So let's be like the guy. You know, I've got to the point in my life when it comes to my wife, I just nod my head and say, okay. Because you know what? That shuts her up quicker than anything. What do you want to do? It doesn't matter to me. How many of us are so, and we're all this way, opinionated that we want to tell God how to do it? We want to tell God when to fight, when not to fight, when to come, when not to come, when to show up, when not. I'm too busy today, don't show up. We need to be quiet. Stand still. Stand still. The Bible says in Ephesians, when you're having done all to do, just stand. Stand still. What did Moses tell him to do? Stand still and see the salvation of God. And I believe that was kind of, I believe he turned around and told those people, you need to shut your mouths and you need to shut it right now. Because they was wanting to go back. They was wanting to go back. I thought so many times at the Red Sea, if they would have died right there, Eric, at least they'd have died free. They wouldn't have died with the whip beaten on their back. They would have died as free men. But let's go back to what God told Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. God had to split that Red Sea. He either had to pick them up, take them across. You know what? I don't know how it was true. I seen on the internet last week, hey, man, that they found Egyptian remains in the bottom of the Red Sea. Archaeologists did. And then another proof that God's God. So are you trying to help God? Are you trying to put your two cents in when it comes to doing things with God? Be quiet. Back up. Let God do it. Let God. He's been in this business forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no ending of him. There was no beginning of him. Amen. He has been. He always will be. So I think he knows what he's doing. Do we have enough faith to trust in him? And if we're walking in God's favor, I believe we will. I believe it will be easy to trust God if we're walking in his favor. If I opened up testimony service, how many could stand up and tell me over and over and over the things that God has done for you? Then why are you fighting against him? Why are you trying to help him? There's things that you want done in your life. Back up. Let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. I know sometimes we get in a hurry. I know sometimes we get impatient, but let's back up and let God fight for you. I'm telling you what, this journey's hard enough with me trying to fight my battles. Amen. It's hard enough. Amen. Trying to get through the day sometimes with all the drama that goes on around, all the family stuff that you've got to deal with. Amen. It's hard enough. Why don't you just stand still and let God fight for you? The battle's not yours. I'm going to close this message. The battle's not yours. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that jumps out in 28 that gives us a pattern of what we should do and what happens when we do it. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says this: It shall come to pass if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That we started with Proverbs and basically said the same thing. Hearken diligently, obey the commandments. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, okay, and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will do what for you? set you high above all nations of the earth. Okay, that's pretty good. I like that one. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know what that means, overtake thee? If I would have you, don't do it, I don't want to hurt your back, but if I would have him stand up and turn around, overtaking means that I'm running and jumping on your back. I'm not passing you by. I'm not stopping behind you. I'm overtaking you. Now, your job is to go home, and after verse 2, you read the next 12 or 13 scriptures, and it talks about you will be blessed coming, you will be blessed going, your cattle will be blessed, your children will be blessed, all of those things. But in Deuteronomy 28:15, the thing changes, and he says this, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. He said, all these curses shall come upon thee. And Eric, it says the same thing. And they will overtake you, the curses, if you don't hearken diligently. He lays it out. Now, when you go home, read Deuteronomy 15 on down, and you'll see all the curses. Your curse coming, your curse going, your curse this, your curse that. Now, I believe we're all pretty intelligent in here. Some smarter than others, but we're all pretty intelligent. Curse or a blessing? What do you choose? Now, see, that was pretty easy. Okay, how do we get the blessings? We observe and we do the commandments of God. Okay, we walk in the favor of God, and when we walk in the favor of God, it becomes a better life, a more productive life, a more joyful life. What do you want? Peace or disturbance? Joy or sadness? Okay, so if we're going to obey the voice and observe his commandments, and that's how I started in Proverbs, same thing. Writer of Proverbs is telling you the same thing. The writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, is trying to tell the children of Israel the same thing. So what do you want? Well, I want to live in God's favor. I want the favor of God to be on me, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. Tomorrow could be the worst day of my life, but as long as I'm walking in his favor, it's going to be okay. No matter what it is, it'll be okay. But you've got to decide. What am I going to do? Am I selling out? Part-time Christian? Undercover Christian? Well, which one are you? Well, I'm in this for the long haul. I told God down here praying a couple nights ago, God, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not quitting. I'm not backing up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm in this for the long haul. Well, you want the favor of God. That's where it lands, and it's your responsibility to do it. If we want to see all the things that we've heard and seen and want, and we want God to move in this place like crazy. I'm going to tell you right now, not everybody has a church where God moves like we have here. I'm telling you right now. Brother Merle's told me, I've been out preaching. He goes, not everybody does what we do here. So we want to, well, I love, okay, I do. I want to enhance it. I want more. I want more of it. I want more of the power. I want more of the presence. I want more of the glory. Okay, well, how are we going to do that? We're selling out. And we're going to walk in the favor of God. Choice is ours. It's nobody else's but ours. You want it? There it is. A better life? There it is. Let's get after it. Find you a place to pray, church. God bless you.